The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your generosity. Lord, thank you for all that money that has been given so far. Lord, thank you for the amazing good work that is going to enable with those in debt, with the homeless, with the young, with the old, with all kinds of people in this city. Thank you. Lord, we pray, keep providing. Lord, keep adding to that. Lord, we might go beyond that £40,000. And Lord, we might just see you move in this city. Lord, we long. Lord, as we think about this this whole concept of a supernatural Christmas, Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning you would come and move supernaturally. Lord, you know our needs. Lord, you know our individual needs. You know our needs as a church. You know the needs in this city and in this nation. And Lord, we simply ask you would come and you would move in power. Lord, we wouldn't just hear of you. Lord, we might experience you at work. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, that first Christmas was all about heaven kind of breaking into earth. It was all about the supernatural activity of God. And as Jesus is born, the kind of supernatural activity of God in the world just starts to increase, kind of explode, really. Angels and choirs of angels start to show up in unexpected places, like Nazareth. Here, Nazareth was if you don't know, it was a really unexpected place. Later, people will say, "What, Nazareth? Anything good come from there?" Unexpected place. Maybe you think Brighton, unexpected place. The Holy Spirit comes in unexpected places, but also on unexpected people, like we saw with Zechariah. You know, Zechariah discovers that God wants to work by his Holy Spirit in the area of greatest pain in his life. The thing that he'd kind of given up hope on, God wanted to come and change and bless and transform and do a work that would affect the whole world. I wonder if you have things like that in life. Areas of pain, things you've given up hope on, things that you kind of look at and you just think, "That's just impossible to change." Maybe you look at the election this week and you just think, "Oh, I don't know who to vote for. It just looks impossible. Such a difficult decision." Maybe it's much more personal. Maybe you think about your marriage. Maybe you've been in a marriage that's been difficult for many years. Maybe there's a family relationship that's broken, a loved one who is far from God. Maybe you feel stuck in a job, or maybe you have no job. Maybe there's real financial problems, real health challenges. You know, one of the hardest times in my life was when I went through a period of depression. And it was so difficult. It's a horrible illness. And one of the most challenging things about that time was the feeling I had of real despair. The sense that things wouldn't change. That it was impossible. Kind of hope, kind of disappearing. It is easy to lose hope at times. And the truth is, for many people, the time we're reading about here, for many of God's people, the situation looked impossible. Isaiah describes them as a people kind of walking around in darkness. A people kind of in gloom. They're occupied by the Romans, the greatest military power the world had ever seen. They're scattered all over the place. They're divided. They're without leadership. It looks hopeless. And then angels start showing up. And start to say, look, there's hope. They start to say things are about to change. The angel declares to Mary that contrary to what she feels, contrary to everything she sees around her, the impossible is going to happen. Nothing is impossible, the angel says, with God. God has power, wants to show that in her life in the most amazing ways. You look, verse 35, it looks like this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So a picture of being kind of enveloped and surrounded by God. And we read that, we say, wow, that's great for Mary. But surely that's just for Mary. You know, this isn't for us, is it? I mean, should we be expecting God to work in our lives in the kind of these supernatural ways today? What do you think? If we're honest, I think it'd be true to say our lives are often not filled with the supernatural. My experience is that I've seen some amazing miracles of God, seen God at work in power, but I've also had many disappointments, many unanswered prayer, many challenges, many illnesses, and that's difficult. You know, in fact, for many people, the whole kind of area of the supernatural, the work of the Holy Spirit, is a painful area. There can be disappointment, cynicism. You know, if I was to ask this morning, who here wants more of God's power at work in their lives? I think most of us would say yes. Yeah? But if I was to ask, who here is expecting today for God's power to be at work in your life? I think the answer might be less of us are expecting that. And yet, if you keep reading through the Bible, you discover that actually the supernatural activity that kind of increases with Jesus doesn't then diminish, it then increases again. You know, as Jesus ascends into heaven and the early church is birthed, there's another explosion of supernatural activity. God's Spirit at work. Paul says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that wasn't just the apostles. It was whole churches experiencing the power of the Spirit. But it doesn't stop there, because if you read through church history, you see time and again God coming by His Spirit in amazing ways. You know, Christianity is all about a supernatural breaking in of heaven to earth. That's the prayer Jesus taught us, isn't it? I pray that your kingdom may come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's asking for your kingdom to come. God's kingdom to break out. That's what we're told to pray, to expect. And yet so often it's not our experience. And so I want us to look at Mary's experience and say, well, what can we learn from her? That this might become more of a reality, that we might see more of God's power at work, even in us this morning. The angel says nothing is impossible with God. And that's where it all begins, with our view of God. And it begins with this kind of battle, this battle to believe. I think one of the huge challenges for Christians today is simply the challenge to believe. To believe that God wants to move in power. That God is able and willing. You know, so often our view of God is that he's reluctant, distant, maybe hard to please, perhaps unlikely to answer our prayers, maybe disappointed with us, maybe even angry at us. I wonder if you have a view of God like that. A view of God that you're kind of like constantly letting him down. Do you ever think, what does God really think about us? You ever think about that? What does God really think about you? Or me? What do you think? Is he kind of writing the end of term report card? Yeah? Could do better. Seem to remember that on mine. Is God's power reserved for people like Mary, this virgin woman who's highly favored? Is she like the grade A student? Is that what we're waiting for us to become the grade A students? Look at verse 28. The angel comes, says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. What a fantastic message to receive. The favor of God is with you. The presence of God is with you. How does God give his favor? You know, is it apportioned according to your performance? You know, bad performance this year, this term, no favor. Okay performance, bit of favor. Oh, good performance, well done. Well done, David. You know, good performance, much favor. Is that how it works? Many believe it is. Many believe Mary is an example of an A-grade student. But if you read carefully, you see something curious. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this is. She's like, this doesn't line up. She's troubled at his words. Why is she troubled? Could it be that she's troubled for the same reason we get troubled? She has the same issues we have, that she struggles to believe that she really has God's favor because she knows deep down that she doesn't deserve it. She actually seems a bit suspicious, doesn't she? It's like, God, what are you really up to here? Maybe for the same reason that we get suspicious at the prospect of God coming and doing a work in our lives. Yeah? What is God? God, what are you really planning here? Yeah, you ever think that? God, are you just going to come and turn my life upside down? Because none of us want our lives turned upside down, do we? We want God to work. We want God to come in power. But God, can you come in this way and in this form and according to my will? Mary really isn't sure what this is all about. And so the angel has to say to her again, verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And this is a big battle for Mary. It's a big battle for us. The battle to trust, to not be afraid, to believe that God is for us. To believe there really is favor, that he really does love us. You're like, how do we know that? Well, we know because of what the angel says next. Look, verse 31. You will be with child and you'll give birth to a son and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. J.C. Ryle says, we have in these verses the announcement of the most marvelous event that ever happened in this world. The incarnation and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is mind-blowing. Remember, she hasn't got a baby. She's not even pregnant yet. And she gets this message. The angel said, right, this, you're going to give birth to a child. It's going to be called Jesus. That means he's going to be the Savior, the one who saves, the identity of whom is just mind-blowing. He's the Son of the Most High God. He's the long-awaited King from the line of David. He's the one who will reign not just for a generation, but forever and ever and ever. It's such a huge message. And this point, it's just an announcement. So we have the benefit of hindsight. We go, yes, of course, the angel says that, and then this happens, and that happens, and of course it all happens. But Mary, that's not Mary's experience. Mary is just hears something. And she has to choose, will I believe that thing that I hear, or will I believe what I know is possible? And that is so often the battle we have with God's words. You know, all she's got to go on is the words of the angel. Will I believe it? Will I trust it or will I not? And so often in life we have times like that. Well, God, you say this. But my experience says something else. What other people say something else. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to trust what God says? Or am I going to trust what I think? She's firmly in the realm of the impossible. You know, sometimes, you know, our battle isn't so much, can God do this? I think very often our battle is, does God want to? Does God really favor us? Does God really favor me? Would God really do this? We know deep down we don't deserve it, but the message of the angel is not, you have earned favor with God. Did you notice that? What does it say? You have found. You have found favor. That word means to come across, to discover, to find. Sometimes this word could mean even without searching. How do we know God loves us? How can we be sure we actually have God's favor this morning? We know it because of this message that the angel brings. We know it because of the incarnation. We know it because of the most famous Bible verse in the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And that love comes before the giving of the Son. It comes before we do anything. God loves us. We find it so hard to believe we're loved because we live in a world where love is always conditional. Often disappointing. We take our cues about God from one another. We often take our cues about God from our own experience of parenting and parents, and particularly fathers who may have been distant, may have been harsh, may have even been good, but are so limited compared to God's. And so Paul, he prays for a church in Ephesus who are struggling to really believe they're loved by God. Struggling to really believe that they have God's favor. Because they know they don't deserve it. And this is what he prays. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then this is what he prays. He says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. This is where the power of the Spirit begins. Believing and receiving the love of God. Receiving the undeserved favor of God. You know, there's the message of Christianity is a message about God coming by grace alone. Received by faith alone. The first battle is a battle to belief. The second battle, briefly, is a battle to surrender. Mary asks a great question. How will this be? what you're saying is impossible. It doesn't match up with my experience. It doesn't match up with what I know about the world. It doesn't match up with normal life. It's impossible. How will this happen? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, this is beautiful. It's faith-inspiring, but again, it's troubling because this is where it becomes clear that Mary's path is not going to be straightforward. I can imagine her just kind of suddenly working this out. You mean I'm going to have a baby? I'm going to be pregnant and I'm not married. Oh, okay. That means shame from, that means my husband-to-be might reject me. That means my family, my community will reject me. And if you know the Mary story, actually it does lead to a life of real trouble. She ends up having to flee for her life and the family's life to Egypt, becomes a refugee. It's kind of her suspicions about God turning her life upside down are actually true. God comes and turns her life upside down. It is not comfortable, but it is glorious. It is amazing what God does through this life. The Holy Spirit will come, but it is not going to be her way. It will be God's way. It's about what God is going to do by his Spirit coming upon her, overshadowing her. Again, it's another word that is slightly challenging. Because when someone overshadows you, we kind of see that as a negative thing, don't we? Because if someone overshadows you, they eclipse you. Yeah? They become bigger than you. And if this is the key to seeing the Spirit's work in our lives, is that we need more of God and less of us. You know, John the Baptist says, he must increase, I must decrease. He must totally eclipse us. It must be his way, him in control. This is a massive moment for Mary. And this is where her example becomes instructive to us all. Well, how does she respond? She says, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. What shall we do when God says, do this? God says, go this way. What does Mary do? She says, I'm a servant. I'm not going to cling on to the path I had in mind. I'm going to step into the path you've laid for me. It's this picture of total surrender. It's an amazing thing, and it's a hard thing because we so often want to grip hold of our lives, don't we? Do you find that? I do. Oh, God, I want you. God, I wanted it this way. God, I wanted you to do this. Mary surrenders, and she sees that she's being invited into a story that is not about her, but it's about God and what God can and wants to do. And God invites us, each one of us, into a story just like Mary's. Did you know that? You know, Mary has this amazing, astounding privilege of giving birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. What a special thing. Isn't that amazing? Do you know God wants to do a special thing that is just like that in each one of us? We sing about it every Christmas. In a little town of Bethlehem, we sing in the last verse, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Notice this. Be born. Be born where? In us. In us today. This is the big story that God is doing. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and was literally born, but the reason he was born and the reason he died and rose again was that so the birth of Christ could actually happen in us, that a new life could happen in you and me. It's amazing. Isn't that phenomenal that the God who made everything wants to live in us and wants his power to be at work in us and through us? Isn't that extraordinary? Just think for a moment. If you're a Christian here, this is what Paul writes. Romans 6, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? In you. Right now. If you don't know God, you could invite God in right now to come and live in you. The power of God is available. If we will believe, if we will surrender to his will, his way. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, Lord, we want to ask for your help. Lord, we want to ask for your help to believe. Lord, to believe that your Holy Spirit wants to come upon us, wants to overshadow us, wants to be at work in us, wants to do not just a small thing, but wants to fill us to the measure of the fullness of God as Paul prayed for that church. Lord, would faith arise? Lord, you say nothing is impossible with God. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, as this morning, as we bring the kind of the impossible things that we feel like we have in our lives, Lord, would faith would arise? Would faith arise in your church? And Lord, help us to surrender. To not pick and choose on your word. To not say yes to this, but no to something else. Lord, will we totally surrender to you? Come, Lord Jesus, would you move in power among us?